Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. When we find Jesus in John chapter 10, he has just uttered one of his famous I am statements. And if you were paying attention to our intro for this morning, you would have heard it. In John 10 specifically, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That is the context of which our text arrives to us today. The gospel continues this theme of the shepherd's voice, and we find out what sort of importance this voice truly has. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews come to Jesus, and they tell him, tell us plainly if you are the Christ. And at this point in the gospel, that seems a little bit ridiculous, quite honestly. Jesus has already turned water into wine. He's healed an official's son. He's fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's walked on water. He's healed a man who was born blind. And all the while that he is performing all of these miracles throughout John's gospel, he is preaching quite plainly, I am the Christ. In fact, those words themselves, I am, should have been the indicator to these people. This was the divine name that God gave to Moses in the burning bush. When Pharaoh says, who sent you? Say, I am has sent you. And here is Jesus saying, I am. He openly confesses to be the Christ. So why would the Jews come to him and ask him this silly question? It's because they don't think that what Jesus has done is enough. They don't think that his miracles are proof enough to show that he is the Messiah. They don't think that his preaching is good enough to prove that he is the Messiah. In other words, just like Pharaoh was with Moses, their hearts are very hard. They should have been convinced long ago that Jesus was and is the Christ. But as they stand before God himself, they are still stuck in their unbelief. Of course, that's their own fault, right? I mean, Jesus is telling them the truth. They just won't hear it. The testimony in favor of Jesus is overwhelmingly shows that he is the Christ. Yet it's worth mentioning that not all Jews rejected Jesus. There were some opponents, of course, but there were actually some Jews who did believe in him. They heard Jesus' voice, and Jesus knows them, and they're the ones who follow him. That's kind of like the little formula that we get in this text. It is, you hear, and when you hear it, and when you believe it, Jesus knows you. And then when Jesus knows you, what do? Well, of course, you follow him. This is the same formula by which our faith is lived. This is how we receive faith. Words are spoken to us about the Christ, about his miracles, about his preaching, about his death, about his resurrection. And you know what? We believe them. And when you believe these promises of Jesus, when you believe these miracles and you see him as God himself, rest assured that Christ knows you. And then we follow him. Truth be told, though, that's very difficult. It's very challenging. I don't know if you've ever tried to have a conversation in a loud room with many other voices, but it's really challenging. Or like when you're in a stadium or something like that, there is so much noise going on around you that you almost practically have to scream at the person who is only a few feet away just to be heard. And this is the picture we get of the church. Yes, Jesus is speaking. Jesus is telling you his word. But we have so many voices, so much noise around us that sometimes it's hard to hear Jesus. We need to silence those voices and cling all the more to our shepherd. And of course, as sheep, we want to follow him. We know that Jesus has our best interest, but sometimes we stray. We're prone to stray. We call this sin. That's what straying from Christ is. We leave the shepherd's voice behind for a time into reckless living, outright sin. Or maybe even we think that a false shepherd, that is, you know, one of these false preachers that exists in the world, and we think that they're preaching, they're teaching, it sounds so attractive to us. Or, you know, we get tired of hearing the same old law gospel sermons in our churches. Are we tired of the shepherd's voice? Are we tired of hearing about Jesus' death and resurrection? Is that story worn out? Because if that's the confession of your heart, you are in some serious trouble, my friends. No, we're called out of this world. We're called not to believe lies or to be anxious about our lives. But we're called to hear the shepherd's voice. And what does the shepherd's voice say? You are forgiven. The shepherd says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus is always there to seek and save his lost sheep. And he is there even today, calling you through his word. He is your good shepherd, and he speaks forgiveness into your ears, bringing you back into the fold. Because honestly, how many of you here have lived a perfect life this week? Any takers? No, none of us have. And so what does that say if we're not here to receive the words of forgiveness in our imperfect lives? But we do that sometimes. Because honestly, it's not just about hearing, knowing, and following. There's a fourth thing that we do, and it's much to our shame. It's stray. That's really the cycle of our lives. We hear, we believe, Jesus knows us, and we follow him, and then we stray, we sin, we leave it all behind for a time. But what does Jesus do? He calls us again. He seeks his lost sheep. And as we come back into his presence and we hear those words, you are forgiven again. It means that Jesus knows us. And he calls us to follow him all the more. Again and again and again and again throughout our lives, we live this cycle. Hear, know, follow, stray. And we don't want to do the stray part, right? I mean, that's the part we hate about ourselves. But the better thing about this text than anything else is the fact that Jesus never stops. Right? His sheep will never perish. No one can snatch them away. You see, Jesus responds to our every need, and above all, he gives us eternal life. It isn't something that comes easy. In fact, toward the end of our text, right, we get this little phrase here, right? Excuse me. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. This is true. Jesus is God. He is as much God as the Father is God. Their wills, their lives, they are totally united. They're totally in line with each other. But what that means is that by necessity, there will be a time when the Father and the Son are not united. If the Father and the Son have the same goal in mind, it means that there has to come a time when God and his Son are not one. And that's the crucifixion. See, Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at that moment, Jesus is experiencing hell. At that moment, he is dying for the sins of the world, yours and mine, and it was all according to plan. Jesus became the greatest of all sinners because that is what God wanted. He took on the sins of his straying sheep. And in fact, in that moment, all of the sins of the world are counted against Christ. All of a sudden, the Father and the Son don't appear to have the same oneness they had before, because Jesus cannot be in God's presence. Jesus cannot be united to the Father because he has become the maximum sinner on the cross. That's what it costs to be sheep. That's what it costs for eternal life and salvation. And yet the Father knew that while he had to punish his Son, because now his Son is bearing all of the sins of the world, he has to pay this wage of death, he knew it wasn't right. Because even though Jesus willingly takes the sins of the world, he still never committed a single one of them. He simply shoulders the burden. God sees it wasn't right. It couldn't be. Jesus was perfect. And there, even in death, Jesus is showing how selfless he is. As selfless as the Christ needs to be, even in his death, he's performing a miracle of salvation and accomplishing God's will. And the sermon he preaches from the cross, it wasn't for his own benefit. It was for yours. He says, "It is finished. Your sin is finished. Your eternal death is finished." And this is why God raised Jesus from the dead. Because he is the Christ. If there was any doubt in our mind that Christianity was the one true faith, find it in the resurrection, because in every other religion, the leader stays dead. But not in Christianity. Jesus is the Christ because he comes back to life. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Oh, so you have heard the shepherd's voice. You have believed these truths. See, in the resurrection, Jesus is not only one with the Father yet again, having the same spirit, desiring the same things, but now he brings you into that relationship. As you hear, as he knows you, as you follow him, you and the Father are united because you have been united to Christ. In word, in baptism, in the supper we will receive in just a moment, you have received Jesus' death and resurrection. You and the Father are one. Now, of course, this isn't true for everybody. Jesus still had Jewish opponents even after the resurrection, even after the ascension. In fact, we heard about that a little bit in our first reading from Acts. Paul is traveling back to Jerusalem, and he doesn't know what his Jewish opponents are going to do to him when he gets there. But that's the world that we live in too. There are some people outside the walls of this church who may not have heard about Jesus. Some people who don't have any option but to listen to the white noise that is out there. And what they really need is they need someone like you. Someone who will speak the message of the gospel of Jesus crucified and risen into their ears. That way they might hear it and believe it. That way Jesus might know them, and that way they might follow him as their good shepherd. Friends, the stakes are high because eternal life is on the line. It's high for us too. And so even when our sin and our weakness gets in the way, even when we are led to despair, no matter if Satan himself comes to afflict us or if the world steals away all of our temporal benefits, or even, you know, heaven forbid, we temporarily believe some false preacher's lie, run back to John chapter 10. Because it tells you about a good shepherd who will continually call you back to himself, and no one can snatch you away from him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.